Cheesehead TV presents Across the League. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Across the League, brought to you by Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Aaron Nagler, and if you're here, you're probably reading the blog or following me on Twitter, in which case, you know, I'm an opinionated guy. I have opinions on almost anything related to do with the NFL. Hope to give some of them here to you during the off season. First of which is we're heading into oblivion. 2010, certain, almost certain to be an uncapped year, followed by 2011, when there will most certainly be a lockout. Whatever team you root for, really, really pull for them to win the Super Bowl next year, because after that, all bets are off. We're going to start first ever segment here at Across the League, talking about a Packers-related item. What a shock. John Schneider, hired as the GM over in Seattle to work in concert with Pete Carroll. How do we think this plays out? John was introduced to the media today, where it was plainly put that Pete Carroll will have final say. I don't think John Schneider will have a problem with that. He's worked in a top-heavy organization for the last several years with the Packers, where he shared a lot of authority, but he also did a heck of a lot of work, did a whole lot of scouting, did a whole lot of road trips, going to colleges, scouting players, but he also knows how the NFL works. He knows everything that needs to be done in a front office. And he's definitely ready for this opportunity. He's also making me feel like a complete failure in life in the fact that he's 38 years old and is now in charge of an NFL team, whereas I'm almost 38 and recording a podcast in my living room about him. Anyway, I found one comment that he made today particularly interesting in regards to how he has always obviously dreamed about the scenario, always, been getting ready for this day, and then it happened, and it was nowhere near exactly how he thought it would be. But like I said, I thought his take was pretty interesting. Here's what he had to say.
I was preparing myself, to have the standard, you go in, you hire a head coach, you go through the whole process. That's what I was, starting to get ready. When this thing went down with Coach Carroll, I did have a moment where I was like, oh, okay, no, that's all right. That's different, just the way it went down, but that's the way they needed to do it in order to acquire somebody of his caliber, okay? So I took a step back for, 2 minutes and was like, this could be a great – this job's even more attractive now.
That, ladies and gentlemen, is what we like to call diplomacy. Even more attractive, I think that's a stretch, but it's a happy face he's putting on things, and you can understand why. His first time getting the general manager – title next to his name, and like I said, he's 38 years old. If that's your first gig, running a team, you're doing pretty well. He also said today that he will be keeping the scouting department intact, which is good news for the Green Bay Packers, in that he most likely won't be raiding the front office or the scouting departments in Green Bay. He's going to keep the guys and gals that are there in their positions. So that's good news for the Packers, great news for the Seahawks, and they get a great guy. Schneider has made just tons of connections around the league. Everybody says good things about him, and the guy's a tireless worker. He started as a summer intern under Ron Wolf, and I think he'll just really add to the Seahawks organization and really help them along the way. Another big item, as it were, is Chan Gailey in Buffalo. Okay, that's not a big item to most people, but I find it really interesting just because of the fact that there were so many rumors and so many guys. I mean, Brian Billick was opining, practically begged Buddy Nix up there to give him a call, and Buddy Nix never did. And Buddy Nix surprised everybody and went and hired Chan Gailey. And a lot of people, I found this, Adam Schefter said that two other clubs had said to him that they had considered Chan Gailey last year or 2 years ago, in the last couple of years, but were afraid of the lack of sizzle factor. That was his word, sizzle factor with the fans. And I'm shocked that teams still think like that. And I know, I understand There's lots of money involved, and you need somebody you can sell. But you also need to win football games. And I know Chan Gailey doesn't really do it for people. I was just listening today, I think on ESPN radio, where someone was talking to Len Pasquarelli. I can't remember the guy's name, but he says, oh, you know, he doesn't really do it for me. So what? You know, Jerry Jones admitted his mistake when he fired Chan Gailey. Chan Gailey has a winning record as a head coach in the NFL. Chan Gailey is a good football coach. If you get a good football coach to be your head coach, you're one step ahead of the game. Now, does that mean he's going to win a ton of games? Does that mean they're going to go to the Super Bowl? No. But it's a good start. Of course, Gailey went into like hyper cliche mode in his press conference, which you have to expect. But there's a moment at the end when a reporter asks him, about how, you know, we've been through so many coaches at this point, and so many guys since they're, 4 years in a row going to the Super Bowl. Ever since then, it's been, a parade of ridiculousness as far as going through the head coaches, cycling through different programs. And now, poor Buffalo fans have got to sit all offseason and wait to see what the heck it is Chan Gailey can do. Like I said, he went into hyper cliche mode when asked about how he's going to be different. And you hear him realize halfway through his answer that he just said something he shouldn't have when he tells the fans that they can hope. And then you hear him switch it and say, oh, but I expect to win, because, there are two different kinds of coaches, those that hope to win and those that expect to win. It's a classic moment. Take a listen.
If you don't believe in yourself and you don't believe in the people that you're going to bring in and the way you're going to run a football team, then you shouldn't be standing up here in the first place. And probably every one of those guys believed in what they were going to do. And I certainly do myself believe that. You can't promise in this league. There's 31 other teams out there that are trying to do the same thing that you are doing. Nobody can – you can't take me for my word because we hadn't done it yet. I understand that. So all you can do is understand who we are, what we're about, what we're trying to get done, and you can hope. Fans can hope and expect, and that's a big difference. Because I learned from a coach way back, there's two types of coaches, those who hope to win and those who expect to win. And I've been around enough winning and enough winning programs and enough winning organizations that when I walk on the field, I expect to win. I don't just hope to win, I expect to win.
I don't hope to win, I expect to win. That's fantastic. It's so great how you hear him right in the middle of it. You hear it. You hear him go, whoops, don't say hope. And then he turns it into expect. That's just fantastic stuff. And I know it's riveting for all of you who are not Buffalo Bills fans. So let's turn it around and talk about some relevant teams, which, of course, there are four left. The Colts and the Jets, the Vikings, and the Saints. Start with the Colts and the Jets. I'm really pulling for the Jets. I got to admit, I live in New York. I'm caught up in Jet fever here. The Colts shouldn't have ever let them into the playoffs to begin with. Now here they are, brash, and they got a smack-talking head coach. And, how can you not get behind it? They play great defense. They run the ball. They beat the hell out of you at the line of scrimmage. I'm all about that. And like I said, they shouldn't be here anyway. I mean, pulling Peyton Manning in that game was ridiculous to begin with. If you're going to play Peyton Manning, play him the whole game. They're here, and now they got to pay the price. I'd love to see the Jets walk away with this one. I don't think they do. I'm not ready to say they're going to. But it's going to be a great game. But on the other side, in the NFC, you've got the Vikings and the Saints. Now, here's the thing. Everyone's talking about the Vikings and how dominant they looked against the Cowboys. Of course they did. They were in the Metrodome. And if you've watched football, the NFL, for long enough, you know that the Metrodome is a horrific place to play. Even when the Vikings are terrible, that's a horrific place to play. In the playoffs, it's 10,000 times worse. The Vikings were undefeated this year at home. They were 4-4 on the road, and I know everyone knows this. When they walk down into the Superdome, you know, it's going to be a whole other ballgame. Their defense is entirely different on the road because they rely on their front four. And the front four has great timing in the Metrodome because teams have to become one-dimensional in their snap count. They're forced to go either on a silent count or a one count, and Jared Allen and Ray Edwards can just fly off the ball. Well, they can't do that on the road, and they certainly won't be able to do that at the Superdome. And, you know, I mean, the Cowboys run a pop gun offense compared to what New Orleans is going to throw at the Vikings. I just see the Saints are just going to have too much firepower. They're going to be able to take advantage of the secondary of the Vikings, which is suspect to begin with, and especially now that they have Antoine Winfield having to play nickel. Are you kidding me? That's their best defensive player, and he's playing the nickelback because he's either too injured or too messed up coming back from injury to play his regular starting spot. I just see the Saints having way too much firepower for the Vikings. And, of course, the Vikings have that quarterback. Love him or hate him. I wrote a piece for the New York Times, Why I Still Love Brett Favre. Although at times I still hate him, that's for sure. You know, his last chance at glory here. I think you got to say, he proved his point. The guy still got it. Again, love him or hate him, the man can still play football. And I know Packer fans wonder, you know, would the Packers have gone further this year or even last year if they still had Brett Favre? The answer is no. He's playing this year because of the edge that he has. He's playing so well this year because of that edge, because of his focus, because of his, both because of his anger at Thompson and because of his concerted effort to, you know, cut down on the mistakes. But you can see it. Jason Wilde, ESPNMilwaukee.com, is onto something when he talks about Favre's, I don't know, the edge that he has in his celebrations. I totally agree with Jason in that you can see there's a smirk, there's an attitude, there's some kind of cutting edge. I don't know what you want to call it, but there's definitely something there that wasn't there before. Before it was all joy and throwing guys over his shoulder and fun. He's just having fun out there. Everyone's favorite phrase when it comes to Brett Favre. That's not the case anymore. Now it's all about, I showed you I'm the best. You doubted me and you were wrong. And I don't think it's just Ted Thompson. It's everybody. See, you know, every NFL writer had this guy written off this past summer. You know, everybody was like, he's going to wear down. I was in that camp. You know, I followed along with the come December, a guy's going to wear down. And yeah, he has, you know, he had a few struggles in December. And it wasn't so much December as it was his team falling behind. You know, you looked at the Cardinals game. You looked at the Carolina game. Look at the Bears game. They fell behind. Now, look at the Bears game. Guy came back. Made it a game. He almost won it for him. So the guy proved his point. You can hate him all you want, or you can love him all you want. The guy proved his point. He can still play. Now, is it a successful season for the Vikings if they don't win the Super Bowl? No. Because after everything, if they lose on Sunday, they were one game better than they were last year. And that's it. And that's a whole lot of hoopla and stuff to go through to just win one more game, which is basically, essentially, what they would have done if they lose this Sunday. But Favre, you know, talked about coming back and about what he wants to do and why he came back and the Super Bowl and his pursuit of it. And, you know, as always, he's great at the mic. And I really liked his answer. Here's what he had to say.
I came back for the opportunity in hopes of getting back to the Super Bowl, no doubt about it. But, you know, people may think that you know, I'm pulling their leg, but I really don't feel like there's anything left to prove. The thing with playing 19 years is, like you're saying, with Elway being retired so long, people actually forget that I actually had success, had been in the Super Bowl. And, you know, I have to remind them that sometimes. Hey, you know, I played in the Super Bowl. No, really? So I guess I've played so long that I have to kind of re-justify my, you know, that I actually was a pretty good player at one time. I played in a big game before. I actually was fortunate enough to win one. Unfortunately, we lost one, but that was, you know, I don't know if too many guys are left in this league that were in those games.
Nothing left to prove. That just about sums it up. I couldn't agree more. After the year he's had, he's pretty much shown everybody that he can still play, win or lose on Sunday. The guy's one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play the game. It's going to be a great weekend. There's going to be some great football on display. I know we've had clunkers up to this point. I think there's been maybe two good games, the Packer-Cardinal game and the Colts-Chargers game. But this weekend, I think we're going to get two great games. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Thanks a lot for sticking around. Thanks a lot for giving me the time of day. Thanks a lot for listening. Thanks a lot for reading over at cheeseheadtv.com, following me on Twitter at Aaron_Nagler. You can also follow Cheesehead TV at Cheesehead TV. Hopefully, if the numbers aren't dismal, I'll be back next week. And big thanks to Corey for making sure this all gets out to the masses, as it were. This is my stupid idea. I'm sure it stinks. But, hey, I got to complain to somebody. And, you know, my wife is sick of listening to my voice. So thanks so much for listening. Hopefully, I'll be back next week. Want to try and get some guests on, some interviews, people you expect, people you don't expect. Stick around. It's going to be a great offseason. Lots to talk about. See you next week after some great games on Sunday. Take care, everyone.